Okay, so the prima facie case, here it is. Number one, he belongs to a protective class. This is the employee, right? So obviously, if you're a Dodgers fan like me, you're not a protected class, right? I can be fired for being a Dodger fan. Okay, so let's say the protected class is my gender. I'm male. That's a protected class. I can't be fired because I'm male. His performance met his employer's legitimate expectations. So if your performance is objectively poor, you know, and you can be shown through undisputable evidence, again, undisputable, that your performance was poor, you don't make a prima facie case. You suffered an adverse employment action, and that's what I was talking about before. It has to be something like hiring, firing, you know, promotion, demotion, lack of a, you know, a denial of a pay raise, you know, anything kind of that will be tangible. And finally, you know, similarly situated others not in the protected class receive more favorable treatment. So you basically have to show some kind of, you know, you're fine, you know, you're a regular qualified employee and something bad happened to you and other people like you didn't have that same bad thing happen to them, okay? It's not meant to be really burdensome, okay? That's what the prima facie case is. So that's how the litigation goes. And the reason I want you to know that is because of how much the veracity of what you say, the truth of what you say, is so important, right? Because the whole game after the prima facie case is just throwing, you know, darts at your reasons for termination, right? I mean, that's a really, I mean, let that pervade the entire day, right? Because a lot of what Connie's going to be talking about this afternoon is how you can document and create a record, if you will, that a jury will be able to say, yeah, that's right, right? I believe that. I believe the employer did that, right? And because their whole job is to make a jury think that you're not telling the truth, okay? Again, sorry, with apologies to the plaintiff's attorneys who it flipped what I said around 180 degrees, and that would be accurate. Okay. Disparate impact. This is the other. I remember we talked about disparate treatment, the very common. Disparate impact is the very uncommon, but still interesting to know, where you have a neutral policy that does not discriminate on its face. It is absolutely applied without regard to any protected category, can still be illegal under Title VII, even though there's no intent to do so, if it has an adverse impact on somebody with a protected category. So let's talk about that. Okay, it's not intuitive, it's not intentional, and it can be a neutrally applied policy. But that policy, when applied, has a statistical impact on somebody in not a protected category. And by the way, these are rare, okay? These are extremely rare to see, especially now that some of the more obvious things have been eradicated. So after you have an adverse impact, right, where you can show statistically this practice discriminates, has an adverse impact statistically on a protected class, right, even though you didn't intend to, the employer still has a defense, and that's called business necessity. We have to have this policy. It's part of our business, and we can't be a business without it. We can't serve our customers, or we can't provide our services without it. Okay, that's how you defend a disparate impact. What are some examples? Well, the big case was Griggs versus Duke Power in, I think, 1971, where there was a requirement that you have a high school diploma for, I think they were firefighters, and pen and paper tests, okay? You have to have a GED, you have to have a diploma, and you have to pass a test, okay? Well, look at the statistics of who were able to apply. Actually, I'm not sure if this is who was able to apply or who got through, right? Regardless, you see a very striking statistical disparity between protected classes. And what that means is that that's illegal unless the employer can show it's a business necessity to have a high school diploma and it's a business necessity to pass this test. And the classic case that I'm aware of is the firefighter test in the 70s in New York, where a group of black would-be firefighters filed a lawsuit saying, why are you doing this test? Black people are not passing this test along with white people. We can fight about why that is, but we don't have to, right? We can show statistically that black people are not getting jobs because of this test, right? What say you, employer? And the employer said, well, you know, you have to, you know, have a minimum intelligence, you know, and the court said, no, no, you don't. You know, this is clearly not necessary. This is not a business necessity. And therefore, this policy of requiring somebody to pass a test, requiring somebody to have a high school diploma, you know, for a lot of jobs, who cares whether you have a high school diploma, you know, are basically, whether intentional or not, doesn't matter, violation of Title VII. Okay? That's disparate impact. Very unlikely to occur in this day and age. Although you know where it does occur, I say very unlikely, this is where the rubber meets the road. Background checks. If you have a policy that says nobody with a conviction can work here, you are probably going to violate the disparate impact test because black and Latino applicants are disproportionately incarcerated and convicted. It's just fact, right? I mean, statistics after statistics will show that this is true. So the EEOC says, you know what? We're not even going to make you do all the statistical stuff, employees. If you're not hired just because you have a conviction, you can file a claim and we'll prosecute it. You know, now, of course, there's all kinds of guidance, again, beyond the scope of this class, but there's all kinds of requirements that the EEOC has. They're not saying that you have to hire anybody with a criminal conviction. They're basically saying if someone does have a criminal conviction, you have to do an individualized inquiry to determine whether this really is something that you need to ding them for.